The next case before us is 20-1392, Bell v. Soren. And we are ready when you are, counsel. You are on mute. We can't hear you. You're still muted. You're still muted. But it's very persuasive.
Judge, it might take a minute to figure out. I'm sending him a prompt. So give us just a second here and hopefully we'll get it.
Okay, thank you.
Also, while he's trying to unmute, I'm going to reset the timer since it just turned a lovely lime green color.
Okay, thank you. Now it shows you unmuted on our screen. Say something.
Can you hear me now, Your Honor?
Yes.
Great, okay.
Now you have to give us a minute because they had to restart the clock. So I'll let you know when we're ready to proceed. These are some of the new adventures with Zoom hearings.
You can start the clock, Melissa.
Yep, I am resetting it. For some reason, it turned a weird lime green color, so I'm just resetting it so we don't have the lime green color. So it should be there in just a second here.
There you go. Okay, thank you. All right, now when you're ready, Mr. Justman.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the court. This is a case where the plaintiff failed to prove damages. The parties agree that damages must be proved with reasonable certainty. Ms. Bell didn't do that, so the court should reverse. The damages theory that Ms. Bell presented was one of lost commissions. At a minimum, to establish reasonably certain evidence of lost commissions, you need three things. You need evidence of pricing, you need evidence of quantity, you take those, multiply those two together, and then you need the third thing, which is expenses or costs, you subtract that out, and you have reasonably certain evidence of lost commissions. Why do you need an expert? So this court's cases say that typically the general rule is when you have a damages calculation, you need an expert unless it's a common sense or straightforward calculation.
Is it our cases we would look at, or are we looking at Delaware?
It's the same rule and it doesn't matter. So Delaware has the same general rule, whether it's a issue of substance under Delaware law or procedure under this court's law. You don't always need an expert. If it's just adding up some numbers, if it's simple, common sense, straightforward, you don't need it. But the court's cases say, and this is from James River and the LifeWise case, that if it's a complex issue, if there's multiple factors, if you got to consider anything beyond common sense, straightforward calculations, you need an expert.
Well, I guess the argument on the other side of the aisle is that this was a common sense calculation. You had Dr. McKenzie testify that he would have used Ms. Bell for 200 devices over the 3-year term each year. So you've got 600 devices. You take the average commission and you can calculate that easily from the evidence at trial, and you multiply that and you come up to a pretty a reasonable estimate of what she would have made. What's wrong with that?
So there's a couple ways I'll answer that. One is that there's layers of speculation within the evidence Your Honor recited. And beyond that, even if one were to take the number that Dr. McKenzie speculated about, and that's his word, he said it was his best speculation. that's beyond what this court's precedents say. So if you look at the James River case, it gives an example of what common sense, straightforward calculations mean. And the court says, if you have 103 numbers and you're literally adding them up, that's a common sense, straightforward calculation. Another case says it's like elementary school math. To come up with any reasonable number, you need evidence of quantity, you need evidence of pricing, and you need to take out the expenses.
But wait, why do you need to take out expenses? This is a woman who was paid commissions. She wasn't paid profit. She was paid commission. So, right. I mean, whatever it took her to earn that commission is not part of our analysis here.
No, I think it is, Your Honor. And the court's cases, including cases that talk about commissions, talk about how you need, you know, it's not gross, it's net. Because obviously in a world that you're talking about, what would my ability to earn what would it have been if I had been told what I thought I was told? You don't sell 200 devices per year or whatever the number might be at no cost to yourself. And so the court's cases say you need to subtract out expenses. And sort of to address Your Honor's point about Dr. McKenzie. So
they're talking about expenses that she would incur that are not reimbursed by the vendor or employer. I'm not sure whether they're technically an employer.
Yeah. So right. Ms. Bell was an independent contractor. Right. So
she's operating in this contract. So you do deduct out the cost that she incurred to generate any actual or hypothetical commissions, right?
Correct. And if there were any evidence of that, we could do it, but there's zero evidence of that. And
because their theory changed. Am I right about that? The theory at trial was you can look to what she made at Mektronics, is that how you pronounce it? And that you could extrapolate from what she was making there and determine what she should have been making here if the fraudulent statement had been true. Am I right? There was a change?
Yep.
Change of forces in midstream?
Yeah, it was quite... maybe far across the stream, if I want to use Your Honor's metaphor. So even in the pretrial order, Ms. Bell's damages theory was, if what Soren had told me had been true, I would have gone to a different employer and I would have earned $750,000 more at a different employer. The evidence came out at trial that there were no positions available. So for the first time during closing argument, Ms. Bell's counsel came up with a different theory. And that theory was, well, you have to take this average and multiply it by, you know, 600 devices per year, subtract out 55 or 45 devices per year, and you get $5-6 million plus bonuses.
The jury obviously didn't buy that, right?
True.
I mean, yep. it gave a much lower number than that, but a higher number than just the 1 year of actual sale or 3 years of actual sales.
Correct. The jury awarded roughly just under $1.4 million. Ms. Bell's commissions over 3 years was roughly $418,000. And then she had bonuses on top of that.
Did that exceed what she was making before?
To answer the question about what was making before, you have to look at different data for a different company. And that's part of our... that's part of the key parts of our analysis today is you can't compare what she made at Medtronic and use it as a basis for calculating damages.
She was making over $1 million at Medtronics, right? She had a commission on over $10 million of sales there, correct?
She had quite a substantial book of business at Medtronic, which was the market leader. And on the other hand, Soren, you know, was, in her words, 0% market share and was building a brand within the hospitals and the doctors within her territory. And so to sort of apply let's take Dr. McKenzie's 200 devices per year speculation and multiply it by some average. that's far beyond what this court's cases on expert testimony require. And I'll just note one thing.
What kind of an expert would you, if you could plan your perfect trial, what kind of an expert would Ms. Bell have had to present in order to satisfy your argument?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it's not Soren's job to decide what proof she presents, but, you know, in our view, you know, a couple of different types of experts might have sufficed if they would have had foundation and ability to present the testimony. So you could have an industry expert, someone who knows the Los Angeles market, knows pricing of devices, knows, you know, hospital caps, knows the different types of devices and what patients they're best for, the number of sales per year, those sorts of things. Or you could have an accountant, someone who says, I went in, I did these calculations, I looked things up. But Ms. Bell didn't have either of those. And I'll just point out.
Well, but you know, even if you used an expert, even if you had the perfect expert, you would have to speculate here because the way her commissions were calculated depended on a whole lot of moving parts, on what device was sold to which hospital because the price of device changed by a hospital, and in what year because her commissions changed depending on what year it was sold. So your position is, I mean, that would be speculation too, wouldn't it? Even if I had an accountant with a calculator add up numbers, the numbers that he's adding in are being pulled out of the air, right?
Yeah, so I'll answer that in a couple.
Does that mean she can never get damages? That there's no way in a contract like this that she can make out a claim?
No, our view isn't that, you know, someone in Ms. Bell's position could never get damages. And I'll answer Your Honor's question, and then I'd like to reserve, you know, whatever time is remaining for rebuttal. But I think the speculation that Your Honor points out is precisely why expert testimony is needed. And just imagine if an expert had testified, then we could have cross-examined the expert on the fundamental assumptions. Why did you assume this number of devices? Why did you assume pricing at this hospital? Why did you assume, you know, this level of market share versus a different company?
In order for us to review your contention that the damages award can't be affirmed without expert testimony, did you need to make the argument about the need for the expert at your halftime motion? Because it was only made, I think, in your renewed motion. Is that correct?
No, that's not precisely correct. And I'll answer that in two ways. So we made it before trial. We made that argument in our motion in limine number one, and this is at appendix page 165. And we said, you can't offer opinions on damages because that requires expert testimony. And at that point, the damages theory was, as we talked about earlier, a totally different theory than what was ultimately argued to the jury. And there are cases that say, you know, issues of law, not evidentiary sufficiency issues, but issues of law don't need to be argued at halftime. Right. And the both parties cite the Mikelton case. there's a footnote in that case that says exactly that. And in any event, Ms. Bell hasn't argued waiver here. And we argued it after trial. The district court said these are the same arguments you presented. So the district court clearly thought everything was preserved. And so our view is you need an expert. Ms. Bell didn't have one. And so the court should reverse on that basis. And I'd like to reserve the last.
Wait a minute. I'd like you to reserve too, but I have a question first. How did she put on a damage theory that was not in the pretrial order? I mean, customarily, if somebody tries that, you object, and not in the pretrial order, Your Honor, she's finished. Did that happen?
We didn't object in that way. We made arguments at every stage that says all of your damages theories are too speculative. The district court kept paring them back. We made the Rule 50A motion that says, hey, now that Ms. Bell's case is done, there isn't sufficient evidence. The district court said, I'm denying it as to backward-looking claims. I'm granting it as to forward-looking claims.
All right. So you didn't make an objection that the damage, the series of damage theories were not precluded. You didn't say they were precluded by the pretrial order.
So, yeah, in other words, correct, Your Honor. We didn't object during closing and to say this is something new. We've never heard it before. We just argued there's no evidentiary basis that would support it.
All right.
So we'd like to reserve the rest of our time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you. May it please the court, and I first want to make sure that I can be heard here in light of the difficulties.
Yes, we hear you.
Thank you very much. I represent the plaintiff appellee, Brianna Bell. Ms. Bell is also appealing the district court's ruling after her case in chief, limiting her damages to the 3-year term of her contract.
Would you agree that if we find that the there should have been no damages at all because the evidence was insufficient, that renders that claim moot?
I would, Your Honor. Yes. Okay. I want to talk about two issues in the limited time I have today. First, I want to describe to the court the substantial evidence in the record that supports the jury's verdict, amounting to $1.38 million over the 3-year term of Ms. Bell's contract with Soren. And second, I want to address the abuse of discretion, the error of law that the district court committed in limiting her damages to the 3-year term of the contract.
Turning first to the calculation of damages, we have no idea what the jury did, do we?
We don't. I mean, it's a general verdict form where they just gave us a number. And
they would have to pull it out of the air, right? They have no idea what devices were sold or would have been sold. They have no idea what year they would have been sold in, nor do they know where those devices would have been implanted, which hospital.
Your Honor, that's not correct at all. In the record, the jury had evidence of not only the devices Ms. Bell was able to sell, the 45 a year, given the absolute lack of the promised access. They had information about every one of those devices, where it was sold. And as Soren Counsel points out, 3/4 of those were from McKenzie. So the pricing's baked into that.
Well, and if 3/4 of those 145 were from McKenzie, then your speculation about what the jury was thinking doesn't work, because you're arguing, you're double counting devices. She would have sold 200 to him each year, but she did sell 145. And you just said, I think 3/4 were from McKenzie. So you should reduce the 200 then, right?
No, Your Honor, and I appreciate the opportunity to respond to that, because the testimony is very clear. Dr. McKenzie testified, and just to give you some context, Dr. McKenzie is the most significant by volume of all the physicians in Bell's referral network that she had developed over 10 years. He's a leading EP in the LA market and has had a stable practice for 20 years, where he implants 400 to 500 devices of these CRM devices a year. He had worked with Bell for 10 years when she was at both St. Jude and Medtronic. McKenzie made very clear, and McKenzie was actually screening Bell's job opportunities at Soren, at Biotronic, at St. Jude, and at Boston Scientific in April.
I'm not sure what relevance any of this has to the damage calculation.
No, No, Your Honor, let me narrowly answer your question. Because McKenzie stated, and he testified both in his deposition and what he told Soren executives, is he said to them, I am going to use Bell myself for 200 devices a year. My group is going to do another 100 to 200. That's 300 to 400 devices. And McKenzie said, the only thing I need to be assured of here is that you have contractual access to my 5 hospitals. And they said, don't worry about it. We have that access. On day one, you can begin doing this. That's the lie at the core of the case. Now, what Bell did was over 3 years, she was able to sell 135 devices, Your Honor. That's 45 per year. 3/4 of those went to McKenzie. But if you just use the delta between the 200 he testified with great specificity, that he would have used Bell for. And the 45 that she was able to sell, that's 155 a year. That's a shortfall. That's assuming, that's counting the 45 she did sell. So the 155 a year shortfall multiplied by the average commission that
Bell. Well, why would it be the average commission? And, you know, it matters what she sells, where she sells it, and when she sells it.
Well, Your Honor, let me explain why the average commission is, in fact, the best evidence of that, the very best evidence, because that spans the 3 years. It spans the different hospitals. It spans the three different categories of devices. Bell earned an average commission of about $3,100 per device she sold it for over those 3 years. That's undisputed. That's the best evidence a jury can rely on.
Did you argue that to the jury? Did anybody say to the jury, hey, jury, if you do this math, this is what her average commission is?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
No, your argument to the jury was based on what she made at Medtronic.
No, Your Honor, what I argued to the jury, and the transcript will be very clear on this. Bell sold an average of 600 devices a year at Medtronic. That's clear. That's undisputed, and it's in the record. What I argued to the jury, which the jury rejected, which they were obviously free to, but I want to make clear what the argument was. I argued to the jury that Bell, because of the lack of access, was only able to sell 45 devices a year instead of the 600 that she would have been able to do, would have been able to replicate had full access been present. The jury rejected that. That delta, the 555 device shortfall multiplied by the $3,101.44, whatever that number is on the average, that produced a requested amount of about $6 million, which is what we asked for in our closing argument. We never, never changed our theory of damages on this in terms of what Ms. Bell's damages were for the term of the contract. I'd like to focus, Your Honor, if I might, on why the court's basically changing its ruling.
Wait a minute. Before you switch gears here, I am completely confused. I thought that you're basing your argument on appeal. Is that if you take McKenzie's $200 a year and you do an average, you come up with your damage theory, and the jury whittled that down. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what you're arguing happened?
No, Your Honor. What we argued to the jury, what I argued to the jury in closing argument.
Well, I understand. You told me what you argued to the jury.
Right. What we're arguing.
But it was rejected, you said.
No, and instead, what the jury clearly did is the jury had the testimony of McKenzie before it, where McKenzie is saying, myself alone, I was telling Soren executives, I'm going to do 200 a year with Bell. And Mahmoud, the executive at Soren, confirmed that. McKenzie said at least 200 a year. And that's if you have the contractual access, which they promised him they had. What the jury clearly did, or what it appears that they did, because as we know, we can't know precisely. They just gave us a general number. What the jury clearly did is took that 200, subtracted from that the 45 Bell was able to sell. That's 155 device per year shortfall. Okay. Multiplied that by the average that Bell made per commission on the 135 devices she was able to sell. And that comes up with almost precisely the jury verdict. That's all simple math.
Was there testimony specifically? This is the average price of devices.
It's based on, Your Honor, Exhibit 3 that's in the transcript. It's a exhibit that was admitted that shows every device Bell sold, the amount that the price that was paid for that device, and the commission that she received.
But the damages aren't based on the devices she sold. The damages are devices based on devices she didn't sell.
Right. And the best evidence is the devices that she didn't sell are the devices that she did sell. I mean, the fact Well, I mean, I think I don't know.
I mean, what evidence is there to support that? I mean, isn't this exactly the kind of stuff you need an expert for?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. The average, in, which is what the in all of the cases that talk about what a jury can and should rely on in cases like this, this isn't complex profits. Bell, the best evidence of what Bell would have earned in commission on sales that she wasn't able to make because the access wasn't present is again, based on that 3-year history that bakes into the different hospitals, where in her commission schedule.
I understand Bell's argument, she's arguing that I could not sell devices in, I think, 7 of the hospitals or whatever the number is at all during this 3-year period because I didn't have access. So you're telling me that that the jury was free to look at the hospitals where she did have access and the devices she sold in those different hospitals at different prices. And that is what the jury can use to determine what she would have sold in the other 7 that she didn't have access to.
No, Your Honor, what I'm saying is that what the jury had in front of it and what it appears to have based its damage award is on McKenzie's testimony alone about the fact that he would have.
And in your calculation, you rely on the number 200 per year, so 600.
No, I rely on the 200 minus 45 is the 155 delta.
Well, I just did it on my calculator. I don't get the same number that the jury awarded.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, it's all explained in our brief, the way that.
Yeah, and I've read your brief. I'm aware of that, but you don't get the same number the jury awarded either.
Well, it's within a percentage point. So, I mean, it's obviously a calculation that fully supports the jury verdict here.
The McKenzie 200 units, are they all hypothetical sales to the same hospital or multiple hospitals?
No, McKenzie, Your Honor, had privileges at 5 different hospitals. They would have been
right, so he's saying at these various hospitals, I can guarantee that she'll sell 200 a year.
Right. I mean, that right? They projected.
And don't those different hospitals pay different prices for the same device? You have one device. The hospitals are going to pay a different unit price for those, aren't they?
Well, Your Honor, the fact is of the 5, I mean, Bell was able to eventually get some limited contractual access to all 5 of the hospitals in McKenzie's that he was privileged to practice at. So she was able to make some sales at all of those hospitals, not what she would have had the promised access from the very beginning been present. So
but they charge different. The vendor charged, well, the hospitals paid different prices for the same device. One hospital paid X price and the other hospital paid Z price, correct?
Right, Your Honor. And the differences are fairly negligible. And all of that, in terms of the average price per device and the average commission paid by Bell, the very best evidence of that is the average over her 3 years salesperson at Soren.
There is a serious argument made that one of the reasons that is causing speculation is for any single device of multiple devices, the hospitals are going to pay a different price. Isn't that correct? They'd make that argument, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're
okay. Now, what you're saying in response to that argument is the difference in prices between the different hospitals for a particular device is insignificant.
Right. And it's also baked into the average that the jury relied on in calculating the damage award.
Well, that average, what's baked into that average is an assumption that all of these hospitals and doctors would jump on the Soren bandwagon to the same extent that they did to the Medtronic bandwagon, and it's a different manufacturer of a different device. I mean, I like to think that it matters a little bit to the doctors what they're implanting.
Your Honor, and let me address that because it doesn't. It doesn't at all. In fact, it's based entirely on McKenzie's testimony alone. McKenzie also testified that in screening this opportunity with Bell, he became intimately familiar and was excited about the Soren products.
But that's one doctor.
That's all that's needed to support this jury damage verdict. That testimony. That's all that is necessary.
And no, that's it's not because you want to use... It's all that's needed to support 200 devices a year, but you want to use an average that is not just based on McKenzie jumping on the bandwagon 100%, but every other doctor in Ms. Bell's book of business saying, I don't care if it's Medtronic or Bitronic or St. Jude or whatever, so long as it's Ms. Bell, I'll put that device in my patient. And we don't have any evidence of that.
Well, Your Honor, if I might, my time is out.
You can answer my question. Yes, please. Yeah,
Your Honor, the average, I mean, I'm not sure what other evidence that a jury could even rely on. We can't, based on sales that weren't made, we can't call experts to say, the testimony that we had is the best that we could offer on that subject. And the average of the 135 devices over 3 years sold to a number of the different 7 or 8 different hospitals across the 3 categories of CRM devices is the best evidence a jury could rely on to fix damages here. There's no questions damage occurred here. It's just the amount. When there is some uncertainty in that, that is not enough to overturn a jury verdict in what is the most sacrosanct and inviolate of the jury's functions, to determine the amount of damages when a wrong has occurred. That's what they did here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Justman, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, I'd like to make 3 points in rebuttal. First, I need to correct myself in response to a question Judge Rossman asked. I gave the wrong case site. For the proposition that, you know, an issue of law raised before trial doesn't need to be raised at halftime, that's the BP Pipelines case, 473 Federal Appendix 818, and in footnote 8, you'll find a direct cite on that. Second, to answer Judge Murphy's question, was there anyone at trial, a witness, who testified about the average price? The answer is no. No witness testified about what the average price was. That was an attorney's statement during closing argument based on an exhibit.
Was there an exhibit from which that stated the average or from which you could extract the average?
The answers are no and yes. So the exhibit is quite voluminous. If you look at volume 6 of the appendix, it has all of the commissions and it's like dozens and dozens of pages, and you can add it up and figure out what an average per commission or per device commission is.
That's what Mr. Schaefer said they did, and that's within the ken of a jury to total up the numbers and divide by how many there are and get an average, right?
So a jury can typically add up numbers, but it's not based on any testimony, right? So this court has held in far stronger.
They had an exhibit.
So imagine that a witness had testified to this. So this court has held in far stronger cases, the James River case, the LifeWise case, the U.S. versus Griffith case, that when you have someone who actually testifies, but they just give the same type of testimony, that's not enough. So a fortiori, it can't be enough for just an attorney to make that point in closing argument. The final point I'll make, Your Honor, is in response to Mr. Schaefer's point about the pricing. There was a pricing mismatch. So Ms. Bell had access to 5 hospitals, but those are the only 5 hospitals where there's pricing evidence. So even if one wants to multiply Dr. McKenzie's 200 devices per year number, there's no number to multiply it with, because the hospitals that she said she needed access to, there's no pricing for. I'll leave it at that. And if there's no further questions, Soren asks that the judgment be reversed and remanded for entry of judgment as a matter of law in its favor.
Thank you. We will take this matter under advisement.